Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of You Guessed It, Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. For all our Hispanic sisters and brethren around the world, that's numero uno. Shout out to my prior co-host, Xander Dames, with the Xander Effect, and now World of Dance on, I believe it's NBC. So shout out to J-Lo. All right, we're going to let you know we are also syndicated on the following: iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Deezer, Radio Line, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, Castbox, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and Geo7. So if you have any of those or access to any of those, you can find us, and I'm sure many other places that who knows. We also manage the following bands and artists. We have Potty Mouth. Shout out to Jason Boccia. We got to see him almost two weeks ago at Black Sabbath's little gathering. We did some karaoke. That was a lot of fun. Small gathering, of course. Very small. Tiny. Minuscule. Anyway, we had Black Sabbath. Speaking of that, we have SoCal Wreckers, Don Marlowe, Star Daddy, Nola Star, Jane's Addicted, which is a Jane's Addiction tribute band, female fronted, by the way, Aussie Train, which is the Aussie era, which is the Randy Rhoads era of Aussie, and that is female fronted as well. Black Sabbath is also a band. We have Mortis, the Devil's Reject, the Mortis Doll Dancers featuring Lillian Sin, Voodoo Kitten, and Cinder, who we had Mortis and Lillian on last week with our guest James Balsamo, director of some new movies coming out, horror flicks like Bite School 2, and he had some good ones, so we're going to check that out. Very soon here. We also have Cleaver from Santiago, Chile. Fallen Fury from San Luis Obispo, California. We have Side Effect from Bakersfield, California. Burn the Ships, also from Bakersfield. We have Berserk from L.A. and Hollywood Nightmare, who we just now brought on to our artist management team. So we have a lot of things going on. We also have, we would like to thank, and I hope you guys are still open. Well, not open, you know what I'm saying, but hopefully you're still in business and you will be opening as soon as all this COVID nonsense is over. We have the Five Star Bar, 267 South Main Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012. That's in downtown Los Angeles. The owners are Marco and Angie Cordova. Shout out to Marco and Angie. Love you guys. Miss you. And shout out. We look to hopefully be doing concerts at your venue again, hopefully in the near future. But we'll see what happens with all of this. We also have Petey's Place. It's 6025 Reseda Boulevard in Tarzana, California. Shout out to owner Petey Partello. We miss you, Petey. Hope to see you again soon. We also have the Universal Bar and Grill at 4093 Lancashire Boulevard. Beer, owner Greg Beer. Shout out to Greg. Hopefully we can get this thing rolling again soon. We got the Rainbow Bar and Grill, our favorite venue of all, of course. Shout out to our buddy Nick Fuoco from Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays at the Rainbow Bar and Grill, which is located at 9015 Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood, California, 90069. And, of course, Nick Fuoco is also the lead singer He plays Alice Cooper in a tribute band called Nightmare, tribute to Alice Cooper. So shout out to all our bands, all of our, you know, the companies that we work with, venues, everybody. We miss you all. We look very forward to, you know, getting back in there with you. Shout out to all the bands that have been on our concerts. Too many to name. Too many to name. We probably had at least close to 100 or more bands play at any of our given concerts over the last almost 2 years. The end of October, next month, October 24th, we'll commemorate and celebrate our 2 year anniversary of doing concerts in Southern California. So we're very proud of our accomplishment, and we look forward to bringing you many more amazing concerts at different venues all over Southern California. And we are looking to take our bands on tour. Obviously it's not going to be till at least next year. So we're planning many, many things, in the works. Shout out to our buddies from the band, Orgy. And, we miss you guys. Hopefully you get to see you again soon. And all, of course, all the other bands. Shout out to Lou Gordon, Jay Gordon, Carl, you got Gal Pal, and fellow photographer and videographer Erica Vincent. We miss you very, very much. And shout out to my brother Nathan Young from Young Blood Productions. We also miss you very much and look forward to, I know he just did a concert the other night. It was one of those, I think, concerts in your car or some type of thing like that. So things are starting to get going again, but, you know, in a different way. So we are looking to bring you online concerts as well. So we'll be planning this with bands from around the world. So if you're a band and you would like to participate in our online concerts that we will be bringing to people through Facebook Live, Instagram, television, and many other places, hit me up at getrealglobalent@gmail.com. Again, that GTRALENT at gmail.com. Or hit me up on Facebook through Messenger. You can hit me up on our website, GetRealGlobalEntertainmentLLC.com. Many places you can find me. Hit me up Facebook, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. Get Real Global Entertainment LLC. You can hit me up on my personal page, Jennifer Muse, whatever you want to do. We're also Get Real Global. On Instagram, at Jenny's Real Talk on Instagram, and at Jennifer DeVoe Muse on Instagram as well. Many other pages, too many to count. we're also on Twitter as at Jenny's Real Talk and at Get Real Global as well. And mine is also at Jennifer Jennifer DeVoe 1 or Jennifer DeVoe Muse 1, something like that. So check us out. Type in our name in LA Talk Radio. You can go to the LA Talk Radio app on your phone, download the app, and go to channel 1 and just look up Jenny's World Talk on the Block. You can find us. And you can find an archive of all of our past episodes that you can download, listen to, and laugh your ass off over. usually we're pretty damn funny, so we always have a great time. And we are in the process of launching our record label, our television company, our films, which is our movies, documentaries, things like that. And we also have a production company where we're going to be doing the concerts, events, and music videos for our bands. And, of course, our artist management branch. So we have a lot of things going on in the works. And sorry, I did not get you a nerd word of the week this week, but the definition is trying to do the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get a different damn result. Well, President Clinton is the epitome of insanity, so we're just going to go there, so leave that at that. Anyway, there's our nerd word of the week, insanity. I just made that one up just now, but anyway. All right, so we have an amazing guest with us today. We're very excited, and I received this in the mail.
Yes, that's awesome.
It is awesome.
So cute.
Amazing, incredibly talented, multi-talented, apparently, as I read her bio. Author, but we're going to say author for this purpose. Author Tori Eldridge is in the house. Hello.
How's it? So glad to be here.
Welcome to Jenny's Real Talk of the Block. We are very happy and excited that you're here today. And I see you've been a very busy woman between between Broadway and the stage, and you've done theater, you've done movies, television. Now you're an author. This is crazy.
Basically, I can't make up my mind what I want to do with my life. You know,
I'm right there with you. I'm the same way, as you just noticed all the things I mentioned.
Yeah, it's like //, right?
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, eventually, hopefully someday, I'm looking to be an author myself, but I think I'm going to have to hire a ghostwriter because I don't know if I can do all that myself. But anyway, I can tell them some stuff and they can write it on a page. That'll be nice. We have Tori. I thought that was very exciting about how your character is a lot like you, apparently. I see that she too is Hawaiian, Chinese, Norwegian. I love
it. Pretty close. Yeah, she's Chinese, Norwegian. I'm the one who's Hawaiian, Chinese, Norwegian.
Oh.
I left out the Hawaiian ingredient for her.
You got the extra flair of the Hawaiian built in.
That's right.
Polynesian, we love it. It's very nice. Many wonderful and nice people have come from Hawaii, including Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I heard you.
My classmate, my old classmate. Oh, man, he was so nice. Such a nice guy. We called him Barry. But, you know, got to say, never in my wildest dreams did I think.
Right?
What? So crazy.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like nuts. I think my whole class is still trying to wrap our brains around that. But, you know, we're so proud. It's like, wow, you know, local boy done really good.
That goes beyond just like, you know, being Johnny Depp or something. I mean, that'd be cool to have gone to high school with him, too. But this is Barack Obama. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I even think, you know, Barack Obama trumps Johnny Depp in this one case. I'm just
I think probably more people know him.
President of the United States. I mean, come on. So that's nothing to snub your nose at, right?
Yeah, not at all.
So we're here to talk about your incredible book here. I was reading this morning because I just got it in the mail yesterday. So this morning I took it to work with me. I'm a security guard.
Sweet.
An amazing company called Allied Universal. I love you guys. Allied, what's up? I was reading this book. I managed to get through, well, because I had so many people coming through my checkpoint of security that I wasn't only able to get to through chapter 3. But I'm going to continue reading this because it's a great read. And if you want to send me one of them advanced copies of, if you have any laying around, of the first book, I'd be down for that too, because I'm already in love with this book, like for real. Like, I'm already loving this.
I'll send you the actual thing. Forget advanced reader copy. I'll send you a nice one. It's got the nice back.
And I
just got these. Woo, so pretty.
I appreciate you so much. This is already a great read. I'm very excited. I love some of the scenes. What'd you call some of these characters? It was just amazing. Like, I was laughing so hard when she stomped on that guy's crotch, riding the bike, the kids, and these bad guys chasing after kids. And I was like, this is crazy. And I love how you talk about like the racism and the assumptions, and you know what I mean? Like, that was like such a huge subject, especially for LA. Like, that's, you know what I mean? And even she got caught up a little bit in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was totally, intentional. I mean, right now, man, we've got so much going on with the racism and everything. And, you know, one of the things we really want to do, right, is check in with ourselves, right? See where we're at, see if we've maybe gone down a path we didn't want to go on, see if we have any assumptions. And I figure what better way to invite people to do that than to have this kick-ass, you know, champion social justice woman, Me Too era heroine, you know, getting called out. I mean, here she is. She's half Chinese, half North Dakota Norwegian. Her mom's an immigrant from Hong Kong. She lives in our city, right? One of the most diverse cities in the world. And, you know, she's locked into all these communities and everything. So, yeah, it's kind of a big, big deal. You know, add to that the whole commercial sexual exploitation of youth. And yeah, you got some big issues.
Yeah, this is just crazy. I mean, I like how, you know, she's beating the guys up. I'm trying to look for this section. Hold on. It was hilarious. just your descriptions, like, of how, like, she did everything. I mean, I love the fact that you're also... Now, can you explain to our listeners, our viewers, I see that you said a fifth degree black belt, and I'm going to let you say
Toshindo. Yeah, Toshindo is the modern evolution of the ancient art of the ninja. A lot of people don't even know that that's a real martial art, that they're is a ninja martial art. It's nine different lineages brought down to one grandmaster and a lot of different students scattered across the, you know, the world teaching the ninja arts. And, you know, and most of them, at least the ones that I know, trying to make the world a better place. I don't know a single assassin among them, you know, really great group of people. And yeah, so, I mean, I got into martial arts, yeah, eons ago, when my son was taking karate. And so I got into Tongsido, and my teachers also did boxing and kickboxing and ground fighting. And so, of course, I had to do all that. And then I discovered Toshindo ninjutsu, and oh my God, it was all over after that. So I was just all in for that. And yeah, you know, fifth degree black belt, you know, I was like touring the country, giving seminars on ninja arts and, you know, weapons and women's empowerment and stuff. So one of my big goals with this whole series, right, was to blast through the sensationalized stereotype of the ninja.
Right. I thought that is so crazy. I mean, in your description just now, I'm just picturing you in the octagon doing UFC, ground pounding the hell out of some of those women. Well, what's that one chick, Ronda Rousey?
Oh my God, she's tough, man.
Crazy. Wouldn't that be crazy? I'm sorry, you're in the UFC. You know.
Goodness. I never wanted to do that, but I have a ninja friend who totally did UFC.
Name any names? No, I was kidding.
I don't know what name he fought under, so I won't name any names in case it was something different, you know?
I got you.
But it was so fun, you know? So, yeah, this character is so close. She's not me. She's totally not me. But I drew from my life because my mother is Chinese Hawaiian from Maui. My dad is Norwegian from North Dakota. They met and married in Tokyo. Both of my sisters were born in Tokyo. I was born in Honolulu. Lily Wong, her mom's from Hong Kong. Her dad's also from North Dakota. She's got this Japanese sensei. So she's got the same cultural stuff. And she started out as a kid doing, you know, Chinese wushu. That's the crouching tiger, hidden dragon type martial art. Yeah. Which was totally cool with her Chinese mom because, you know, it's Chinese. It's great. But she started like, you know, training on the sly with this Japanese sensei. It's like awesome boxing in this second book. So, yeah, the fighting's loads of fun. I really wanted to keep it really authentic. You know, that's kind of my thing.
I like that. I like the fact that you did that you drew from your own life experiences. And do you feel that this is a character that you could bring into a multiple books, book series? You already have two books already. Do you see this going on for several more books?
Well, I'm halfway through writing the first draft of the third.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I look at it as open-ended. You know, she's 25. There's a lot of change that happens in a person's life. You know how it is at 25. Between 25 and 26, huge changes. Not like between, say, 56 and 57, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of growth that goes on in there. She's in Los Angeles. Lots going on. Yeah. But she's like totally different because, you know, she's not like the John Wick lone wolf. You know, my family was wiped out. I'm on the, you know, path of vengeance kind of thing. Her sister, her younger sister, was raped and murdered 7 years in the past. And that's kind of what propelled her on this. But she's still got her family. You know, she lives above her North Dakota Norwegian Chinese restaurant. And she's still trying to figure out how to deal with her parents as an adult. And she's got these crazy, you know, adorable and meddlesome grandparents coming in from Hong Kong. So she's got like all this stuff. There's even a dang romance in there, you know, that's just like invading her, which is really stressful for her because she hasn't dated in 7 years. So there's all this stuff going on in the middle of this high octane action.
There's a lot of action going on.
Yeah, totally.
She hasn't even gotten up, by this point, she hasn't even met the children yet. She hasn't even gotten there yet. You know what I mean? Like, just that one scene at the end of, I believe it's end of chapter 3, where she's cornered by those three guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how she gets out of that, you know, we're not going to tell the readers, of course, because you need to get a copy of The Ninja's Blade for yourself. And the first book was The Ninja Daughter. So get that one and get this one. Where can people find these books?
Oh, my gosh. Everywhere. All your favorite booksellers, independent bookstores, you know, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever. And if you just Google my name, Tori Eldridge, T-O-R-I-E-L-D-R-I-D-G-E. I'm really lucky. There aren't any famous Tori Eldridges. You know, I'm pretty much it. So you Google my name, I'm everywhere.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Better find you right away.
There's no hiding for me.
That's kind of creepy. Anyway. But I'm excited and I can't wait to read more of this book. That's I'm very excited. I've already liked this. What I want to ask you now, since you come from a background of theater, acting, and whatnot. What brought you from doing Broadway and stage acting, theater, to being on television and movies and then to being an author? What led you down this path?
I know, right? This winding Sir Curtis route. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, I know, it's nuts. When I was in high school, I wanted to be on Broadway, man. I had a beeline for Broadway. So I think I was, I moved to New York when I was 19. And pretty soon after that, I was cast in Little Prince and the Aviator with Michael York. Gosh, that was a failed Broadway show. But hey, whatever. You know, traveled with Anthony Quinn, Zorba, and then was in the original first national company of Cats. Oh, not the movie. Nothing like the movie.
That's amazing. I almost got to see that on Broadway instead. They were sold out when I went. I was 17. It was 1990. We went on a band trip to New York City. And I wanted to see Cats so bad, but it was sold out. So I saw Les Miserables instead.
Oh, man. Amazing. Les Mis was awesome.
Cats. I wanted to see, you know.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was in it so long ago. What? We opened December 1983. Wow. I know, right? So long ago. So West and try my hand at television and film, you know, whatever. I knew nothing about TV and film. And I lucked out. I was there for a few weeks. And The Love Boat, you remember that television series?
Yes, I love The Love Boat. I talk about it all the time.
The Love Boat. Hilarious. Anyway, they were having this nationwide search for these 8 women to become the Love Boat mermaids. And we were like the resident act on the television series. You know, Terry Hatcher got her start as a Love Boat mermaid.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah.
love Terry Hatcher. Lois.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, before then she was a 49ers cheerleader.
Oh wow. Wow, that's crazy.
I know. It was crazy. So we were on that show for like a year. It was so fun. Yeah, and I did, you know, a couple other, you know, a pilot here, and a cable TV series or whatever. Sang. Hey, you do, I wanted to be a singer, right? And so I was doing all this recording stuff. I actually got hired to go on tour with Michael Jackson for his big, that big 80s world tour. I was hired for all of 2 days. And then I get this phone call. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Sheryl Crow and her group are free, and we're taking them on tour. And I'm like, Sheryl who? This is way before.
At that time, Sheryl Crow wasn't really huge yet. She was starting to kind of, but yeah, not fully yet.
Yeah, but enough for them to know.
Crow, no.
I know, right?
Sheryl Crow.
I was now, robbed.
Oh, give me one. I love you. I love you, Sheryl Crow. But
she's awesome. She's awesome. I got to say, she's a blessing. I've gone on tour for, you know, who knows how long. And, well, that doesn't end well. But I did get a chance to record with Brian Wilson.
Oh,
that was wicked cool.
Boy, heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We never did. They never did air that. But it was an experimental thing. They were going to resurrect his career with Brian Wilson and the Beach Girls. And yeah, I was a beach girl. I know. Oh my God. But it was really cool to be able to sing with him because, you know, even during those hard times, man, his ear for harmony and stuff. Wow. I mean, just amazing. So yeah, I was just like, you know, doing this stuff. I got married. I had a kid. My husband, you know, switched from real estate to producing, and we got this influx of screenplays. So I started reading all these screenplays, teleplays, and I was an avid reader, and I was always a very strong writer. And I got an idea for a screenplay, and I wrote it, and I rewrote it, and it actually ended up getting a semifinal spot for the Academy Nicole Fellowship. And I was like, what? That's cool. And I wrote more screenplays, but people kept telling me, you should write a novel. So I did, and it was super fun. And but, you know, I knew that there was this whole mystical thing called the business of writing. And yeah. I just really wasn't into it at that time. I wanted to raise my two sons, and I had just started the martial arts. And so it wasn't until like 13 years after that I went, no, I've really got to write. I really got to write. And I went back to that book and I went, yeah, I got to do this. And so I rearranged my entire life and switched careers and retired from teaching and training. And yeah, crazy, right?
That's amazing. It really is. That's like a lot of things that you'd always wanted to do. You went for it. That's, you know, how many people don't do that, or, well, like me, don't do it until later in life. But
yeah, I've been real fortunate in that. And you mentioned later in life, right? I look at writing as the new career for the second half century of my life. And this half century is all about having fun. So, you know, I'm enjoying every moment of this. I enjoyed having short stories published into anthologies. I had this wild narrative poem, you know, published in the Weird Tales and a reboot of the old Weird Tales magazine. Yeah, that's back. That was cool. And now having these two books and writing a third. Yeah, it's fun. And that's, just, you know, that's what I'm all about.
Writing in this genre of book. Or do you ever see yourself writing in any other genres, such as, I don't know, sci-fi, horror? I mean, I know this is pretty much like a thriller. So do you think like doing, I don't know, crime? I mean, this is kind of like a crime novel, but at the same time, it's more. Do you think about writing in other genres?
Yeah, it's a great question. To begin with, the Lily Wong series is a crime fiction mystery thriller. Yeah, but it also has elements, because it's got culture, because it has deep family relationships. It has those elements, right, that you usually find in like, you know, a you know, other genres and stuff. So it's really kind of a blendy thing, but it's very much, you know, crime fiction, mystery thriller kind of thing. But the interesting thing is, although The Ninja Daughter, that's the first book, was my first book novel published, it wasn't the first novel written. The first novel written was in a totally other genre, dealing with the black magic of Brazil and three different continents, 40 years, past life in 1560 France, wild empowerment story with this amazing woman and everything. So that was actually the first book. And then I wrote this, and then now my agent is actually shopping a dystopian thriller. So yeah, I write all sorts of things. And then that I have a lot of short stories and anthologies that are straight up horror. So yeah, I got,
that is awesome.
Whatever.
We could totally turn that stuff into movies.
Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff that's real cinematic. I think it's because I was a screenwriter, but the Lily Wong series is really suited to television. Yeah, because the characters, you just want to hang with them. There's so many cool characters in it. Yeah.
You got a television series?
Yeah, I'm really trying to, like, you know, put out the feelers for this. So we'll see.
I think it could sell very well, especially if you get the right actress to play Lily. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay. So she's probably too old for that part, Lucy Liu, but I didn't know.
She would make an amazing mom.
She would, because she could do also some, you know, martial arts and stuff like that because of Charlie's Angels and some of the other stuff she's done. But I mean, obviously, you'd have to find somebody else, much younger, because this character, as you said, what, 25?
Yeah, she's 25. Yeah, Lily's mother, though, is an amazing character. And somebody like Lucy Liu would be astounding. She doesn't do any martial arts in that, but she's just a really elegant, powerful woman. And yeah, Lucy could nail that.
That would be perfect for the mom. She'd be perfect to play Lily's mom.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Right at the right age for that. Yes, most definitely. That's a great, oh man, you should think about that. She does television also now. So
yeah.
She did the Sherlock Holmes thing, didn't she? Or something like
oh
that.
Yeah, she's great in that. Oh yeah. So, you know, so many of the movie actresses now and actors, right, are doing film television because television has gotten so darn good.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
And there's so many channels now to, you know, in different companies to put your stuff out. And live streaming, there's just so many things. So you have many options for the Lily Wong series as a television show. It could go to Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video. There's so many companies out there that could pick that up that have the budget for something like to have somebody like Lucy Liu.
It's really crazy. It's so very true. Have you been, like, you know, even something like Cobra Kai that started as a YouTube show,
yeah,
and now it's on Netflix exploding and people are binging on it. I watched it. I binged on it. You know, it's really interesting. Really interesting what's going on.
A lot of people are starting to do that now. They start a show or TV show on YouTube and they get enough of a liking and following that they can produce it into a bigger thing, you know, for television and whatnot. So I think those are good options for you as well, you know, that you can maybe, I mean, but I think something like this type of a character could easily be picked up by one of the bigger live streaming type of.
Yeah, I hope so. I can totally see her, you know, just people falling in love with her and everybody around her and all the, there's so many amazing supporting characters too, from all sorts of ethnicities. I mean, Lily works for a women's shelter that's run by this awesome black woman from Compton and her, you know, New York Jew, former stockbroker husband. And they are just salt of the earth, man. They're so cool.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that in chapter 3, beginning of chapter 4, they were introducing those particular characters from the women's shelter.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool, and how you said, like, she wanted it in Compton, but not in Compton. Like, she wanted it close, like, like Compton adjacent.
Compton adjacent. Hilarious. Only somebody in LA is going to totally get that, right? Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, you know, Lily's, she lives in Culver City. So Culver City's cool. It's a cool place. It's near a lot of areas, you know, whole foodie thing. Lily loves to eat, man. She's a total foodie. She eats. Oh, these books make you so darn hungry, you know. But the thing about Lily is she refuses to own a car in LA. So she rides a racing bike. She takes metro. She does ride share. And sometimes she'll borrow her dad's, delivery car. But, you know, she burns a heck of a lot of calories, you know, because in between this are all these, you know, fights, and she's going after sex traffickers, and these, like, you know, gang bangers are chasing after her from the first book or found her in the second book. It's like, oh, heck is going loose. So she's like constantly eating all this great food, but she never gets to finish.
You said in the end of chapter 3, where she went to go to Paco's Tacos and she got him to wrap up the food and put it aside for her, and she said she'd be back for it later. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, she realizes she forgot her order from Paco's Tacos. I thought that was very interesting. How's this poor girl ever going to eat if she's constantly forgetting her food to go kick somebody's ass?
Pretty much. That happens a lot.
She's like, I'm hungry. Oh, wait, that's right. I forgot my tacos.
And it's so great because every time she comes home, she walks through her dad's, you know, kitchen. It's like a steamer full of dim sum. Every time I write these books, man, I'm always hungry. I'm constantly hungry.
That's awesome.
That's a great thing about living in LA, right? I mean, I've been in this city over 35 years. And, you know, we have an amazing city, right? We've got all these cool communities, these amazing cultures, foods. We have something like 400 languages spoken in our city. It's crazy. And so, you know, I really wanted to... I like highlighting places you don't normally get to read about. You normally don't get to visit, you know?
Very true. I like how you described like Exposition Park and how she was riding down, you know, through, and she was looking and she was, you know, saying about how the different museums, how there was the Black History Museum and there was the, you know, with the space shuttle Endeavor at the next museum down, and, you know, the California Science Center, you know, and how you were talking about just like all the different museums, what was that, Museum of History down there. And so I liked how you really were like laying out like a map of LA and describing it, you know, so well. I was like, wow, I know exactly where she is. I'm thinking to myself, like, I know where, what she's talking about. I know this street she's talking about. I know this area. Like, that's crazy. I like that.
That's cool. Now, the first book goes, I mean, all over the place. We're in the valley. We're in the Santa Monica Mountains. We're in Malibu. We're downtown. Lily grew up in Arcadia, you know, that's out, you know, Pasadena ways. She lives in Culver City. You know, she ends up in Cerritos. And East LA. And that's just the first book. The second book, you know, a lot of the action, it's called The Ninja's Blade because a lot of it happens on The Blade, which is a strip on Long Beach Boulevard in Compton, because the whole book is she's hunting down this missing teenager who she meets, you know, way at the beginning. You met her. Emma Hughes, who was rescued, who came out of the life, you know, she was a prostituted teen and she came out of the life and she was abducted. And so Lily's trying to find her. So the whole book, Lily's trying to find Emma Hughes, but at the same time, Lily meets, you know, spies these other two gals while she's at Paco's Tacos. She spies these other two gals that don't fit together, you know, Dalla and Ana Lucia. And she starts like obsessing about them. And all the while, by the way, she's got all of these effects of PTSD from the incredibly exciting ending of the first book. So she's got all this stuff going, and her grandparents are coming in from Hong Kong to make her mother's 50th birthday a living misery. So, I mean, there's like all this stuff going on, and everybody's trying to set her up with Daniel Kwok. You know, so there's like stuff going on. And it's all over LA.
That's crazy. I'm picturing in my head right now the grandmother. Like, who would play the grandmother? Is a famous Asian actress. Like, I'm trying to think of her name. She has the voice on, what is it? Oh, American Dad. She does the voice of the main character, the blonde woman, Francine. Oh. She has the voice of Francine's mom.
Oh, you know, I always think of there's a Vietnamese actress who is in the Joy Luck Club, who is now of an age to play a grandmother. I believe her name is, I want to say Chien Liu, but I'm not sure if that's right. But she's got a wonderful quality about her. But, you know, there's an audiobook. Both of my novels are in audiobooks, and they're narrated by this amazing narrator, Natalie Nauta. She's like narrated over 100 books. She's amazing. She used to be an opera singer, so she's so great with dialects. And that's good, because this Ninja's Blade has got so many characters from so many communities. But she also does a wicked Mandarin and Cantonese, because she's, you know, half Asian. And so, and she was an opera singer and she studied languages. And so she's amazing. I'm listening to the audiobook for The Ninja's Blade now. And I got to tell you, I used to do voiceovers. And I used to be a podcaster. So I'm pretty particular about, you know, readings. I get into it. I like it. I love it. And so I'm pretty particular about hearing audiobooks. But I got to tell you, damn, she did such a good job. So if anybody out there is into audiobooks, get The Ninja's Blade and listen to Natalie Nauta's do this. She's amazing. It's just incredible.
Awesome. I mean, now, normally we would have you in the radio station with us. You know, we would be down at the radio station. We'd be doing this like in the studio live. We'd be taking pictures in front of the LA Talk Radio sign, all that stuff. but we will do that with you once things go back normal, quote unquote, so we can actually do it in style, of course. I want everybody, we got to wrap it up. We have like 3 minutes left, but I want to please tell, Tori, please tell everybody where they can find you, your social media website, your, where they can find, obviously we said already kind of where the books can be found, but if you want to say that again, let everybody know.
Absolutely. Easiest thing is Google my name, Tori Eldridge, TORIELDRIDGE. I pop up everywhere. Of course, my website is what? ToriEldridge.com. You know, Twitter is what? @ Tori Eldridge. If you go to Facebook, Tori Eldridge Author. The only thing that's a little different is Instagram, which is writer.tori. But even then, if you like search Tori Eldridge, you'll find me. You'll see it. It's got, you know, it's got this.
Yay, The Ninja's Blade.
Yay.
I want to thank you so much, Tori, for being on the show with us today. It was a pleasure. I was just excited already about this book. I can't wait to read the first one and finish reading the second one. And this is really good. It's definitely something I will be reading at work in between people coming up to my security checkpoint.
That's awesome. I love it. I love that you're doing security and reading The Ninja's Blade.
And yeah, and if you guys want to send me that first book, that would be awesome. I can get reading on that one too. I'm just very excited. This is a great book series. Please, everybody, go check out author Tori Eldridge. She can be found everywhere. Go find her. I'm sure like Barnes and Noble and Amazon, anywhere you can go find her books. The Ninja's Daughter and The Ninja Daughter and The Ninja's Blade. And go check it out. Go check out all her social media, her website, everything. Thank you so much, Tori, for being on Jenny's World Talk on the Block on LA Talk Radio Channel 1 today. We appreciate you and everything that you do. And I look very forward to picking your brain about some of that stuff, like how to get into voiceover work, because I've been really trying to do that. And sometimes it's hard.
So, awesome. We'll talk. That'll be a great conversation. And mahalo nui loa to you.
I appreciate any help you can give me. I'm trying to break into some of these other markets, and that would be wonderful. I'd greatly appreciate it. especially in this time of craziness. Thank you so much, Tori, for being on the show today. Everybody go check her out, Tori Eldridge at torieldridge.com. Bye. Till next week, we have another author. I believe it's China. Hold that thought. 1 second. Next week will be our band Fallen Fury. And then after that, the next week will be China Myers' author. Thank you to everybody. Peace out. Have a great week.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.